Welcome to this Cisco Executive Thought Leadership presentation.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Cisco Executive Thought Leadership podcast series. This is the second part of my discussion with Cisco Vice President and Chief Security Officer John N. Stewart about why companies that take a traditional approach to security need to share information and resources with their partners, their customers, their suppliers, and even their competitors to protect their intellectual property and assets, as well as their business relationships. Do you think that the enactment of laws like HIPAA and Sarbanes-Oxley have made that collaboration problem better or worse?
A little bit of both. I think there is something to be said about ensuring that every organization that is dealing especially with sensitive information, be it health information or financial information, the two of which you just referenced regulation around as it applies, needs to be aware of what the expectations are. But that being said, and I remember all too well when SOX was first released, there was no formal understanding of what the requirements were in that regulation to feel comfortable that you were fulfilling them. And instead of knowing for sure, unfortunately, it would turn into what your auditing team said, which we just didn't have enough time as an industry to know net of it is as to what the practices are that were necessary. So in some ways, it's helping because it's bringing attention and it's bringing some formalization and consistency of expectation. And in other ways, it's hurting because, as you know, as soon as either a regulation or laws put into place with a threat matrix that's changing so quickly, it may not even be the most applicable risk area almost by tomorrow.
Now, given this situation, there's obviously an issue of the relationship between suppliers and vendors and customers. What do you see as the responsibility that suppliers and vendors have to their customers and their customers have to them in return and then them to their own business partners when it comes to security?
So one of the things at Cisco that's always been predominant in our culture is we are focused on our customers. And any time that we drift away from them is frequently when we'll get ourselves in trouble. And so what it comes down to is all of our customers, I think, with their purchasing power, have the right to tell us what they need and in what priority. And so when I think of even myself as a customer of other vendors, and to a degree, I treat my team and my organization as a customer of Cisco, we have to state in no uncertain terms what our must-haves are and what we're willing to pay for them. And very frequently, and I think this is changing, to be honest with you, very frequently, security was an option that if it didn't happen to have it, a given vendor would not necessarily fall off the list, and a given customer might not necessarily say, I can't choose you. I think those days are changing. I think that's a good thing. And I think there's also something to be said about saying that a customer has the ability to go, and I will pay a little bit more for it, because it's used to be things like speed before, that's what I needed. Then it went to speed and reliability, and that's what we've been needing. Now we want speed, reliability, and security. And there's a little premium I'm willing to pay as long as you begin to embed it completely in what you're offering me.
For corporations that recognize that they need to take action because of this problem of how to collaborate to have better security, what do they need to do to make sure they have realistic and effective defenses, and what kind of strategy should they adopt, and what will the cost and timescales be?
So one of the organizations will be different than another of the organizations, but I will say this. Each company works with business partners today, be it manufacturing arms, be it IT providers, be it development organizations, etc. With that in mind, they have an audience already that they can work with that will talk through the threat and talk through the strategy with them because they're all in it a little bit together. In my example, we have 300 business partners at Cisco. That means I've got 300 teams I can work with to establish what the best strategy is for all of us combined, because we're all in this together, and then set out a multi-year roadmap that will change, by the way, but it will change only with new information that we don't have today, so that we can march down the road of making progress. I would offer up that many companies worry about the roadmaps being completely right. And I would offer up for argument that they will never be 100% right. You are making strategy decisions on a moving set of targets. And so it's a matter of having a roadmap, and it's a matter of spending the energy and commitment and time to that roadmap and then marching down the road. Because as you're making progress, and that's what security is, it's about making incremental progress all the time, it'll be fulfilling because you can look back at it and go, we said we would do this, we did this, mitigated these risks, we took these risks.
What advice can you provide businesses to stay ahead of those who aim to do them harm online?
A couple of things I would think of immediately off the top of my head. One, make sure that your employees and your partners are fully aware of who to communicate to if they feel that someone is attempting to tell them or articulate an attack against them, be it the IT team, be it the consumers, be it your own customers, etc. Make very clear reporting lines so that you can even know that something is happening to begin with. The second thing is, I am a firm believer in staying in touch with local, and if you will, state or province, and even up to and including federal and national law enforcement. Because if something is trying to harm you and you need some more information about how to think about it, they've got a great deal of experience and a growing degree of experience in all of the scenarios that we've talked about today. So working with them, knowing who they are, picking up the phone, making sure they know you, so the law enforcement teams are aware of your name, absolutely invaluable. And the last one is, frankly, just realize that not everybody's here, unfortunately, to do you good. And there's going to be a certain percentage that'll be interested in doing you harm. Be aware of it. Internalize it and embrace it, because it is fundamentally true. And then make sure you keep an eye out for it so you can address it as it happens.
If I can push you to make some predictions about the future, how bad could it really get? What would be a worst case scenario?
I would think the worst case scenario for all of us would be, frankly, the trust and the reliability that we have in our technologies is called into question, and we almost invert the progress that the internet and networking has done. So if you, in a sense, don't feel as if you can trust the network, and you being a consumer, you being a corporation, then if that little bit of doubt starts showing up, then it almost reverses the path that we're on. I don't see that coming, but I can see it being a concern that I would worry about and just keep an eye on. And the second thing would be, imagine if all of a sudden the wonderful possibilities of communication and collaboration and networking and IT technologies are ones that you can't take the most advantage out of. And in many respects, you can conceive of that being a competitive problem in open market industry, where you aren't able to achieve your business goals, for example, because you can't use the technology because it's not reliable enough or safe enough. That would be my worst case scenario. Do I think the odds of it happening are high? And the answer would be no. But it would be the one I would worry about. And it's the one that I think, as an industry, the reason that we spend a great deal of energy and research, even at Cisco, with over 1,500 people focusing on it for research and engineering, is because that's exactly what we want to make sure never comes to pass.
Thank you, John. I've been talking to Cisco Vice President and Chief Security Officer John N. Stewart. I'm Mark Gibbs. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this present. To learn more about Cisco Executive Thought Leadership, go to www.cisco.com/go/ETL.